So when I leaned into creating content for myself and I stopped thinking about, is this entertaining? Is this valuable for somebody else? I don't care if it's valuable for someone else. That's not where I come from. I know it's valuable for someone else if I create it, because I'm valuable.
And it's very out of the box content too, what you create. Probably pioneer a lot of ideas of what you see nowadays in different types of content.
What are some opportunities that creators today or business owners today might not be aware of?
Not focusing on leadership. I know for a fact that leadership generates leads. I've seen the reports from MTV. We became not only a destination for celebrity talent to want to tell their story, but all the brands that wanted to work with talent as well.
Like, I think you're one of the most authentic people that I've seen or met online.
It's a polarizing thing to say, but I believe that we're guaranteed tomorrow. I wouldn't be here today if I didn't believe I'm promised tomorrow. I'm willing to bet my life on it, because the day I get it wrong, I'm not going to be around to find out.
We've got some fresh.
Hey, I'm Luis.
And this is Luis.
Welcome to the Content is Profit podcast.
In here, you're going to get the insights, accountability, and drive to create consistently and increase revenue.
You will hear from top entrepreneurs, creators, and anything and everything you need to know about content, all this while having a good time.
The goal of this podcast is simple: entertain, educate, and turn your content into profit. Let's go.
Bam, 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 bam. Bam, all the sounds, baby. Let's go.
I love it.
Hey, the time of this recording is Friday at 3 p.m. And we need to be hyped up.
I know, it's an odd time to record.
A special time to record.
It's a special time, I like that. I know, I had to, while I was saying the intro, I was like, I'm not feeling myself. I gotta like scooch over to the edge of the seat, you know, lean into the mic.
But anyways, guys, today is a very special episode because this person we met in one of our masterminds, another incredible relationship. And as we like uncover more of this person, we're like, wow, the experience that he has with major networks, the shows that he has created, the connections that he's created, and all the impact that he's actually creating to the world. It's amazing. So we're going to dive into all of that. So please welcome the one and only Vinny Battestimo. Did I say it right?
That's it. Pew, 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 pew. Hola, mi gente. Me llamo Vicente. ¿Qué tal?
Let's go.
Nice.
That was good.
Yes.
I didn't know your Spanish intro was that epic.
Hey.
Hey, man. I work on that.
Yeah. Vinny here.
Intentionality.
Let's go. I mean, you did launch a major network, right? In Spanish.
MTV3.
And I was like, when we jumped on the call, he was telling me all these name of shows that I grew up with. And I'm like, there's no way. You're like the mind, the voice, everything behind these shows. Can you walk us through a little bit of, you know, your past? And that gives a little context on like where we're going to be talking about, you know, leadership and network and like creating your own platforms, right? And your own voice.
Yeah. And don't be humble.
Yeah.
Don't be humble.
I was lucky to get to MTV in 98. And to be honest, I can't take credit for creating the shows because we collaborated. I was a really good listener. I was the guy in the room who had keys to the door, and I let a lot of people in. And I found that just by being in the room, oftentimes the ideas came to me. I started off at MTV casting the video jockeys, the VJs, the people who would announce the music videos, and I would go down to the studio to see how they were doing the first time they were shooting. And this one time we were recording on MTV2 with Will.i.am, had the number one video on the network, and he recorded his piece. And then he turned to the producer and he was like, why is this new guy, the host, he gets 30 minutes on your air? I have the number one video on the network and I only get 4 minutes. He's like, what do I got to do to host my own show? And everyone in the room looked at me and I was like, oh, I know the two people that need to say yes to this. And like, just being in the room mattered. And I got to be in the room to bring Wilmer Valderrama on Yo Mama, Ashton Kutcher for Punk'd. I worked closely with Jessica Simpson at a point in time where, man, women just, not that they have a much easier time in media now, but like the stuff that I saw in the Y2Ks at the late 90s about how women are supposed to look, and just there wasn't space. And what I did was create space, programming space, and we created reality TV shows. I don't know what's in the future, but I can make it. I can't change the truth, but I can add a couple of facts. And that's what we did with TV. And I get a lot of credit. Beyonce in her first film put Mandy Moore on TV, but I think at the end of the day, I made MTV a collaborative platform.
Yeah.
Like, we went from talking about music videos to creating content with those people. And I left MTV in 07, worked at Bravo, found Housewives and Millionaire Matchmaker, Chef Roble and Co. Anything like this female-owned business,
yeah,
creating space in media for that. And in 2017, I pivoted to work with company owners, businesses that could create their own content and wanted to own it.
Yeah.
You don't need more content to get more eyeballs. You need more context. You need more people talking about your stuff than more episodes to talk about.
Yeah.
And that's what I think I've ended up being really good at. So thanks for the invite.
No, absolutely. We're in front of royalty, and we're incredible honor that we can, talk
and
about.
And by
this.
The way, shout out to Miami too. 8th and Oceans, literally, I created a show, 8th and Oceans, the first show I ever created from scratch about a modeling agency and what it takes to be a talent brand on camera and in a world where everyone else makes decisions for you.
Yeah.
And that's like powerful.
Wow. You're going to be like my new favorite episode to give to my wife. Because she she didn't listen to any of her shows.
This is co-viewership.
And, as soon as I play this, she's going to be like, yes, I am listening to Vinny.
She's like, well, Vinny said. So let me just, yeah, exactly. That's hysterical. Glad to be here.
Pretty much. Now, Vinny, you know what? One of the things you mentioned last call, I mentioned like a very personal story with like my kid with his first t-shirt. And then a week later, you came up, you're like, that one story that you told me gave me this idea to help one of our current clients and sponsoring like this like soccer league and thing. So you take this like, just like random stories maybe that we do this. And like you said, being in the room and you connect the dots to then create, like you mentioned, space and opportunity. And, I relate a lot with that, maybe at a very much smaller level. But when we started our podcast, right, and this is something that we share with everybody that comes to the studio, it's initially we try to fit into somebody else's box or into somebody else's like structure, right? And it wasn't until we decided to do our own thing and create our own space and create our own like conversations that really everything started to flow and move forward and like create that initial momentum, right? It didn't come until after years of trying to fit into those boxes, right? So for you, I mean, you've had years in experience, especially with, you know, traditional media, TV, cable, and now obviously here in digital media, you integrate a ton of those pieces together. Did it always come natural to you, or were you always like against the grain? Like I was always like, I want to really create this for X group or for me, or like, I feel like it's like a fire right inside of us when we try to create our own thing.
And it's very out of the box content too, what you created. Cause I feel like at that time that was not the norm, you know, and definitely probably pioneer a lot of ideas of what you see nowadays in different types of content.
You know, I mean, look, it takes a lot of trauma to get, you know, you got to be bit by a radioactive spider to have superhero powers. So, you know, like my childhood is laced with trauma, and I'm the oldest of six. My parents were the oldest of their family, and I have six aunts and uncles on one side and four on the other. So I tend to be the oldest cousin, which meant that I had a sort of like a different relationship with my grandmother and my aunts and uncles and the rest of my cousins did. So I could tell a story, the same exact story. Just, you know, omit a couple of facts when I'm talking to grandma and add a couple of more facts when I'm talking to my sister, Nikki. And I learned that, you know, it's possible to tell the truth and not tell the whole truth and still be aligned with the facts. Also, as a gay man in the 90s, I was not represented in media. I would turn on television, you know, and I know a lot of people can relate to this. There was not representation and there was not enough channels to have enough representation of the diversity that is out there. So I turned on late night TV show one day and it was Howard Stern. And I said, there I am. I'm finally represented and there I am. Howard Stern has this producer. Her name is Robin Quivers. I'm like, I am her. She is me. I'm Scooter to Kermit. Like I want to be the producer behind the person who's getting in front, and I can empower and enable. And also, I got to MTV in the late 90s. There was a lot of, you know, Michael Jackson put his foot down in the mid 90s and said, look, if you're not going to play hip hop, R&B, if you're not going to play black artists during the day, then take my entire catalog off your air. And then all of Sony and all of Columbia followed. And I got to MTV at a pivotal time where like Yo MTV Raps was already on air. there was a huge conversation around women and representation that happened. To be honest, yo, I got my job at MTV. I was walking by MTV. Aaliyah and Ananda Lewis picked me out of the crowd. I got to ask a question to Whitney Houston. My question was, Whitney, what was it like recording the Prince of Egypt soundtrack with Mariah Carey? When she heard my question, she said, I ain't answering that question. Give me someone new. And I said, oh, this is my moment. But I had created a database. Like I'm a data engineer. I was good at like making databases and websites and I have a very mathematical, analytical mind.
Yeah.
And I said, look, if this is what casting is, I call me because I have hundreds of people that I would love to bring them. So I got to cast Whitney's It's Not Right, But It's Okay videos, the first music video I ever created. And then I got a call from MTV that they needed help doing a very Busta Rhymes Christmas special. Busta was going to come in and sort of put his slant on traditional Christmas music. All that to say, I think I went into that network knowing that if you want to change the truth, you have to bring in your own facts. And the best way to do that is to record them and let people see them. And I did that incrementally. And it worked. Not because of me, but because of the partnership and the collaboration and the energy that people brought. The Osbournes, who said, you know, when Sharon Osbourne pitched the Osbournes to MTV, she said, I want to do The Real World Meets the Osbournes. It was supposed to be a cooking show, by the way, because Ozzy loved cooking. And if you think about it, the kitchen is usually the heart of any home. So like we can do a big family show, you know, in the kitchen. That makes a lot of sense. But MTV said, you know, no one knows who Ozzy Osbourne is anymore. If anything, they know him as the guy who bit the bat head off, you know. So it's a pass. We're not going to do it. We booked Kelly and Jack on Cribs. And it was such a good reaction from Kelly and Jack Osbourne hosting a segment on Cribs that I then took. We cut it down and we showed it internally and did a little bit more and a little bit more. So it was the being a good listener, being and also I'm extremely intentional. I'm not divisive. Divisive is intentionality to get you to my target. My intentionality is not to get you to my target. I don't have a target for that reason, by the way. I give all my good ideas away because people take them. I'm left with my bad ones. I'm not going to die with great ideas just because I didn't have time to make them. And I'm lucky at a stage of my career now where I can collaborate with people. And it's either helping you launch a show. Some people come to me, some businesses come to me now asking me to help them launch a show. I'm like, a show? You're a network. You're a leader in the space of gift giving. Why aren't we launching a gratitude network? And that's something I can leverage and bring to iHeart. That's something that you as an audio first brand could, you know, be leaning into. So I don't know. Again, I can't predict the future, but I know for a fact that we can make it. And that's also, I come from abundance. I believe in tomorrow. It's a polarizing thing to say, but I believe that we're guaranteed tomorrow. I wouldn't be here today if I didn't believe I'm promised tomorrow. I'm willing to bet my life on it. You know why? Because the day I get it wrong, I'm not going to be around to find out. And that is a beautiful way to step into the day and not be afraid that maybe I'm not owed tomorrow. Maybe I have to do everything today. And that, for my own sanity, man, cycles and the system and the way the planet, like I can get all like, you know, I can go big with this like question, but being a good listener and being a good listener to myself is the lesson that I've learned the most out of everything.
So cool. Vinny,
the Holy Spirit, it's in me. I got it.
Yeah, I can feel it. I love it. I think like, you know, every Wednesday we jump on those calls. I think that's noticeable. Right. And you know, in the past, we've received a lot of feedback on our energy, right? And we have been like very jealous of like preserving that energy that might be transmitted like in these conversations or with people outside. And I think, you know, being more aware of that for any creator or any business owner, right? We talk about leadership, what it means to be the leader. And a lot of it is there as well. I want to tie down like your, obviously the network and the opportunities that you see, because most of the creators or the conversations around this world of podcasting or stuff, it might be very limited to the, you know, the Spotify's or the Apple podcast or even YouTube, but you see it and you take it to a whole new level, right? You see that opportunity and be like, why don't we just build a network? Why don't we just, this opportunity is way bigger than what you're you're seeing right here. So what are some opportunities maybe for creators? And we talk about being the leader of your organization, and how can you bring opportunities to your business, to your community, right? And that means maybe creating your network or attaching yourself to a big community. What are some opportunities that creators today or business owners today might not be aware of that you see every single day providing opportunities?
I would say not focusing on leadership. You know, I think I'll bring it back to MTV for a second because we talked about that brand for a minute.
Yeah.
MTV was a TV network when I got there, a cable network, a music cable network when I got there. It became a leader in pop culture programming because we listened and collaborated with the people. Mm-hmm. We built a stage and we invited other people's voices on the stage and we gave them permanent residency. We gave them space. And we didn't try to brand them as ours. Johnny Knoxville isn't seen as MTV talent. Ashton Kutcher isn't seen as MTV talent. But everyone knows they had a big moment on MTV that got them where they are. I know for a fact that leadership generates leads. I know that because I've seen the reports from MTV. And by being a leader in the space, we became not only a destination for celebrity talent to want to tell their story, but all the brands that wanted to work with talent as well. Mm. And I did it at Bravo and I did it at LinkedIn thereafter. So leadership to me generates more leads than if I were to focus on creating leads for the sake of being a leader in a category. I think people get it, you know, and I understand. I'm not going to say they get it twisted or they get it wrong. Look, the earth is round. If you walk east long enough, you'll end up west. If you walk west long enough, you'll end up, it's round. So like, I got to be very mindful. This is where my abundance mindset comes from. But if I can be a leader in the space, then I, when I get to where I want, when I get those inbound leads, and they're coming to me for a much bigger reason than something transactional. So I love LinkedIn for that purpose. That number one reason why I love LinkedIn is because there's no other platform that builds leadership than LinkedIn. Instagram is great for education and it's great for entertainment. And I'm not going to knock either forms of content, but the truth is entertainment matters because of the ads that are inside of it. So there's programming that we make in a half hour, 23 minutes of content that we make you watch so that you can watch the 7 minute of ads.
Yep.
And entertainment is about consumption. Yeah. We want you to complete the entire course because you need to know everything before you take action. I am about inspiration. I want you to stop listening right now. Go do what you got to do. And then know that when you come back, we're going to pick up right where you left off. Like, to me, I'd rather inspire you now to lean into the greatness, to see something and take a stab at it and go for it because you know what's coming tomorrow. And I set myself up today for what I want to have happen tomorrow and also for the people who are around me. So for me, I feel like a lot of people create leads to get to leadership. And I'm really focused on creating leadership, authority, authenticity. It's such a smoother ride when you could just be yourself. Like you guys early in you kicked off the episode by saying like when we were trying to be in everyone else's space, it was tough until we created our own space and we finally were allowed to see it and tell it and use the words. Because you know what you don't need in 2024? You don't need a casting director like me in the 1990s to tap you on the shoulder at some concert to give you an opportunity to be discovered. You get to pick and choose where, how, when, what you're saying, who you're saying it with, who you're, like, you're in charge of your discovery now because of the internet, because of these phones, because of podcasting, which is a form of intellectual property. Yo, like, a podcast is IP. You own, by the way, all those names that I just dropped earlier, they don't own those shows.
Yeah.
But you guys own this show. Like, and there's a big reason why those names are coming into podcasting now, so that they can own their own shows. When you own your content, you own the ability to support your audience, support your community, choose the words that you use, get final say in edit. By the way, that's hard. That's like not going to happen especially in America, in the public, where most networks are like on the stock exchange and there's a fiduciary responsibility to stockholders to make money. It's not going to happen on the network level. And I'm really passionate about helping businesses and people be leaders in their spaces. And then the leads come in. Trust me.
Yeah.
And then this way you're built and prepared and ready for those leads.
Oh.
Yeah. I'm curious on when that shift happened for you, because obviously in your career before and, you know, with all that collaboration, most of the content was entertaining content. But I'm curious if you had a moment in your life that you were like, you know what, I rather than create something that is just strictly for consumption, you know, I want to make this transition? Was there an event in your life that triggered that?
Yeah, 2018, that's about 20 years into my professional media career when I started seeing trends, not to call out any specific network, but like on Bravo with the Housewives, for example, where I started to see that the shows we were creating that were intended to support and elevate, amplify the women who were part of them, I saw it breaking their lives apart. I saw their characters falling apart, their relationships falling apart, all as a result of what made it the most entertaining. And networks weren't being fully responsible of the conversations they were starting. That's the number one issue in leadership. Anyone can start a conversation. Everyone can ask a question. But if you're not prepared to support that question, it's not going to lead to leadership. And the networks figured that out in 2017, 2018. I think that's also when I realized, like, I'm not making content for everybody else out there to watch it. I'm making content for myself. I didn't want Bravo and MTV and A&E and NBC and CBS. I didn't want these networks calling me, telling me what type of woman or what type of person I can go. Now I'm allowed to go meet somebody because now this is what the show is about. You don't get to tell me who I get to meet anymore. That's get out of here. Now we're all connected where we don't need the yellow pages anymore. You don't get to tell me who I get to use my special skill set for.
Yeah.
And I think that was a big pivoting point for me in realizing two things. One is I didn't want to get paid to be able to use what I loved doing most, which was this unique creative skill set that I created that was like, I can find the best in people. Also, I can find the worst in people. And there, I'd be like, oh, man, you're a horrible person. I'm going to send you right to Dear VH1, I've got one for you. Dear Bad Girls Club at Oxygen, you're going to love me for this. I'm like, I didn't like that product anymore. Why am I letting someone else who's ultimately letting advertisers dictate what that network wants? So ultimately, I get to go meet great people because like Axe body spray or whatever Buick or whatever it is that decides that's the audience that's important for them wants. And I really started seeing the fruit of my labor. I saw stars, gigantic stars being created from the small, tiny decisions that I was a part of. And then social media, for me, I just never really liked the idea of someone else telling me what I was allowed to create on my own for spare time, like on my own free time, because it's supposed to be social. So when I leaned into creating content for myself and I stopped thinking about, is this entertaining? Is this valuable for somebody else? I don't care if it's valuable for someone else. That's not where I come from. I know it's valuable for someone else if I create it because I'm valuable. I don't need experience to make you think I have experience. I need to be the experience for you to see what this experience would look like. That's the version that we live in now. And yo, nobody had experience doing what I did in TV. That didn't, it didn't exist. I also, though, some of that's defense mechanism. Some of that is me intentionally making sure that I'm not able to be compared to someone of great, you know, no one's going to win and no one's going to fail when they're next to me because I'm just trying to do things pretty uniquely. And some of that is a result of the coping mechanisms that I have in place from that spider bite when I was a kid.
I think one of the things that I admire the most when, you know, through this conversation and through everything has been your authenticity. Like, I think you're probably one of the most authentic people that I've seen or met online. And in the good, in the best way possible. So that is probably one of the biggest friction points that we see with like newer creators coming into the space. You know, we've have several people come to our studio excited about their vision, their thing. And then when the camera goes on, they turn into a different person, right? And it's like this blocks and things. So it's more of a personal growth element at that point. And it's been interesting navigating through that. And we lived it to some degree. And, you know, I think Content's Profit is a result of us saying, screw that. And let's just be ourselves, right? For you, did that come natural? Because it's a big element, right? At the end of the day, like if we're building a personal brand or if we're building a business and we're leading people, like we have to be ourselves. If not, we're going to be exhausted and we're not going to be able to sustain that for a long period of time. So for you personally, it looks like you leaned into that authentic self like pretty early on and you were able to develop that skill and show, and obviously everything that you've created so far reflects that. How do you deal with that, first with you, and then second with the people that come to you? Do you talk to people that are already there at that point, or do you, or have you helped people kind of become themselves and really shine?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, I talk to everybody. That's like my my boss at MTV, Big Vinny, you're in the hallways way too much. I'm like, yeah, but did you know this department was doing this show? And I can help them bring in five more people. And I get sort of like, I got to be the guy. There's like the hero. I got to be the guy that brings them these people because I spend so much time out there. Look, yeah. In the early part of my life, my teens, I think a lot because of my sexuality and how I identified, it was sort of encouraged not to be myself. Mm. When I got to MTV and I learned from the Osbournes and I learned from Mandy Moore, a 15-year-old female who just knew how to pick up the mic and be herself. I learned from Kim Kardashian and her sisters who were in a stronger, better mindset when they were themselves, when they were a version of themselves on anybody else. I had access to Paris Hilton and Nicole Richie, people who pioneered, you know, this reality TV world. And I know for a fact that if you showed up as yourself, you had a much healthier, better experience than if you tried to be something you weren't. Because I know a lot of shows that, and there's a lot of psychological support that comes along with that world as well. I know a lot of people who ended up needing that a lot earlier in their career. So I think I learned because I was surrounded. And also, I kind of grew up at MTV. So like I learned, you know, Beyonce, Ricky Martin. I'm trying to think of like Jennifer Lopez. Good. I will stop there. Three people who just needed to do their own thing. No one asked them to come out with albums. They had to come up with albums themselves. No one told them what words to use. They just had to use words themselves. And in fact, they had to come out with albums so that people cared enough to get them on national TV shows so that they can stand up for our rights. Yeah. All three of those women, by the way, still can stand up for our rights. Mm. And like, I think I learned because I had a unique perspective into the pop culture world where if you were transparent, if you were authentic, if you were connected to the community that you serve, not to the audience you serve, right? So the community, the larger community that you serve, let the networks, the TV networks, the social networks, let them net out your audiences, the smaller audiences, you know, a demographic. They talk about demos and how old is this and what percentage is female, what percentage identifies. That's an audience level. I learned to build community from so the three of like the strongest. I wish I was around when Taylor Swift was kicking off because I would love to have seen like, you know, the opposition she was confronted with. But these are strong women that, by the way, at every single point, Mandy, Jennifer Lopez, and Beyonce, all three of them were underdogs. All three of them were liabilities to music. When I cast Beyonce and Carmen in Hip Opera, we were literally told, "Are you sure?" Because like, you know, Destiny's Child just broke up and we're not quite sure if that's going to work out. And Jennifer Lopez was part of a relationship with Diddy that didn't work out. And are you sure? And Mandy Moore was always less than Britney Spears and less than, you know, Christina Aguilera. Compared to who? Like what weird way are you looking at life? I'm not going to change. Look. And then, to be honest, I left MTV because I think that I wasn't doing what they wanted me to do. I was bringing in shows that they thought I was crazy for. I tried to do the Lady Gaga reality show. They were like, "Vinny, maybe you're too like musical theater in New York. You don't really understand." I tried to do it with Katy Perry, and they were like, "Just because she's dating Travis McCoy isn't enough." Or yo, like Wild 'N Out. Wild 'N Out was a pass. MTV passed on that first because they were like, "We don't need a comedy show." I was like, "Yo, Wild 'N Out is exactly not a Wild 'N Out is a community show where we can talk about things and laugh about it. How are you missing the point of that?" And by the way, I left in 07. Wild 'N Out gets canceled from MTV. Vine hits everyone's cell phones. Those little clips that really dug deep and were really funny and highly shareable start getting passed around. And then MTV2 sees the numbers and brings Wild 'N Out back out. Wild 'N Out season 21, NAACP Outstanding Award for unscripted for a structured reality show. The Challenge still on air, like this. And I didn't build those with the audience in mind. I built them with the community because the audience changes, especially in public media. The audience, because it's all about advertising schematics, you know.
Yeah.
Or if you see a lot of big companies firing a lot of their employees, it's not because they're bad. It's because they're cutting their bottom line to make their top line look more impressionable because numbers matter. more than people, get out of here. You don't get to tell me who I get to, whose room I get to go into. Thank you very much. Thank you. It's nice to meet you. Bye-bye.
Yeah. Dude, Vinny, this is like so fun and different, I think, in my mind. You know, I've also seen some elements that I want to share right now. Obviously, you know, we talked about not an audience, a community. I think that's a big one, right? Especially for entrepreneurs creating their own thing. It's like we have to make sure that we frame it that way. Leadership creates the leads, not the leads create leadership, right? So how do we work on ourselves to be our authentic selves and put our message out there, and creating our own space enabled to do that? So I think this is a great introduction for like probably episode one. There's so many other questions that we have to, we're probably going to have to bring you back, Vinny, for
deep into
everything, because everything that I was writing here has been like follow-up question. So we might have to do a couple of follow-ups to this.
Yeah,
but I love the principles that you leave on, and I think you're showing the path to a lot of people that might be a little lost in it, and then the possibility, right? I think like even for ourselves, you open, you planted the seed of like, think bigger, think way bigger, right? Yeah, and we've thought about just the podcast or just the thing, but it's like, it's more out there. It's like, it's an abundant world. We can create the thing, especially in a space where we live in, and the people that we help. So I want to say thank you for that. And
I want to add, you know, in the latest episode that we recorded, the guest shared that when you know who you're talking to and what problem you're solving, like, it just becomes so easy to stay consistent, right? There's somebody that has been creating content online for about 14 years. And, man, I can see that in you. You know who you have so much clarity on who you're helping and what problem you're trying to solve, that you're passionate. Like, I can feel the energy. I'm thinking to myself, next episode, I want to do it live. You know, I want to, cool. You know, energy is contagious. And I feel
Let's
like that is going to be absolutely amazing. So really, I mean, I don't know what to say less than congrats, you know, because I feel like you have such a good purpose. You're so passionate about it. And you're definitely influencing so many people in that journey. So it's amazing.
Thank you for that, by the way. You know, I just thought of something as you were saying that, and it's, you know, there's this phrase that's out there, if you build it, they will come.
Yep.
You've heard of that. Yeah. So we're going to build a lot of things in our lives, right? And most people focus on the build part, focus on the them, because those are the people that are going to be with you forever. And whatever you build will serve them if they come before whatever it is that you're building. And I think that's my mindset of community over audience. And, you know, bros, thank you so much for having me. I'm going to take you up on that offer to come back live for sure.
Yes, let's go. Might have to go visit and, you know, share a Jeep ride or something. But
Yeah.
Well, with that said, guys, I think like we're ready to wrap up. Vinny, is there anything else that you want to add before we head out?
No, the seeds are planted. If you are looking for help harvesting, I hang out on LinkedIn. So come reach out on LinkedIn. It's better to know me before you need something from me than to just come at me when you need an answer or two. I'm here to support. I'm not starting conversations that I'm not down to support. I'm all about that. Thank you so much for the time.
Sweet. Thank you, Vinny. Guys, with that said, thank you so much for tuning into the Content Profit Podcast. Go ahead and follow the show in your favorite podcasting platform and on social media at BizBrosCo.
That is Ryan. If today you got motivated and inspired by Vinny here with us, please don't forget to share this episode and leave a 5-star review. See ya.
Bye, guys.